Okay, the shiur is being sponsored by Lyndon Mark Grunbaum and Luthien Eliezer Zastavsky, memory of Judith Grunbaum, Yehudis Bas Yosef Halevi. So we left off last week with somewhat of an introduction to the authority of the Chachamim to institute Gezeiros and Mitzvahs with the Rabbanon. That's the role of Torah, Sajjot Rimah. We have 630 Mitzvahs. So what role does the Chacham have to add to this Torah? So we had really two different approaches last week to be shown. We had the view of the Rambam and the view of the Ramban. So the Rambam's view was that anything that the Chacham add to the mitzvahs, they do in fact have the authority to do so. It's based on the Pasuk in Chumash, Lo Sasa Min HaDavish HaGiluch HaMin HaSmol. The Rambam understood that the mitzvah Lo Sasa requires of us to listen to the Chachamim, whether they're interpreting pre-existing dinim in HaTorah, whether they're relating to us Masorah that they have, or whether they're instituting new dinim in the Rabbana. And the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban says that Lo Sasa is limited only to interpretation of pre-existing dinim in HaTorah. So where does the koach to institute new dinim come from? So that's what the Ramban of the Torah said, that in the realm of Isurim, so I understand, Gezeiros and Chachamim have a right and have a responsibility, Asusiyag la Torah. We quoted the Gemara Maseches Yevamos last week, Shmartis Mishmarti. The Torah itself requires of us to make Gezeiros. So in the realm of Isurim, I understand that the Chachamim have the koach. Where did the Chachamim have the authority to institute Neres Chanukah and Purim and things which are the Torah's mitzvahs say? So that we suggested, yes, last week, that maybe that's based on the Gemara Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara says that the Chachamim, sometimes they're not making up a new din, they're merely extending, they're merely applying a pre-existing Torah concept to a new situation. So we said, like the Marshal, the Torah says that when a nace happens, so you sing as Yoshe Moshe, you celebrate Pesach, you commemorate a nace. So now another nace happened 2,000 years later, nace of Chanukah, Purim happened years later. So we take the Torah model and say, just as the Torah said, that we respond accordingly by celebration, so too when a new nace happens, we also celebrate. Well, let's say, just as in the realm of brachos, the Torah wants us to express our karas hatov, to express our gratitude to the Rabban Shalom for giving us food. So the Torah obligates us to say birchas hamazon. So Chacham extended that Torah model and said that it would be appropriate to express our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we eat the food. So not that it's a din min haTorah proper to make a bracha before we eat it, but it's a ke'en deraisa, it's a kiyum deraisa. It's related to a pre-existing mitzvah min haTorah. So according to the Rambam, all the Rabbanans ultimately are rooted in Lo Sasur. According to the Ramban, there's a difference. Isurim Durabban are rooted in the Shabbos Bishmati, and Mitzvah Durabban are rooted in Kiyumim that exist already in the Torah. But there may be an entirely different approach to these two opinions of the Rambam and the Ramban, which is taken by Reb Chaim. And according to Reb Chaim's understanding, there's something really fundamental, something very basic, about the very nature of Dinim Derabbanan, and particularly some of the differences between Dinim Deraisa and contrast of Dinim Derabbanan. So let's take a step back a little bit to understand a little bit more about the relationship between Deraisas and Derabbanan, which will hopefully shed some light on this Machlokes Rambam and Ramban. So we begin with the first of the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam Ruchas Mamrim, Kadar Alach Aleph. And the Chizmam and the Rambam begins to discuss the dinim of a person who doesn't yield to the authority of the Beis and HaGadol, who is called a Zochet Mamre, which is a very serious prohibition. Pasuk says in Parshas Shoftim, he's actually Chayav Misa for that. So the Rambam goes into the details, what's considered to be a Zochet Mamre. What area of Halacha must a person disagree with the Chachamim, disagree with the Beis and HaGadol, in order to qualify as a Zochet Mamre? So says the Rambam, Zeh Shecholak HaBeis and HaGadol, so the first condition, says the Rambam, it has to be an area of halacha which is a chi of kares. Let's say we know not all areas of halacha carry them kares. So if the Beis and HaGadol issues a psach, let's say in Uchah Shabbos, that's in the kares, and the Zochet Mamre, the individual chacham, says no, I think they're wrong, and the Beis and tries to convince him, and he says no, and the Beis and comes to a psach, and he still says no, and he goes and he paskins against the Beis and HaGadol. So that's called the Zochet Mamre. Since the area of halacha was something that carried with it the punishment of kares, if you do it intentionally, and by definition, whatever carries with it the punishment of kares for intentionally, carries with it the requirement to be a korban chatas b'shegeg. So then the Rambam continues, Bein shahayu hein osrim hu matir, Bein shahayu hein matir hu osir. It doesn't matter which direction it goes in. I would have thought that you only become a Zochet Mamre if you're making against the Chacham. The Chacham say that something is osir, and you say, no, it's mutar. So that I understand, that's an Aveira. What about the other way around? If the Beis Din says that something is mutter and you say it's aser, so I would have thought, what's the big deal? He just wants to be machmir. So the answer is no, it is a big deal. It's shetter. You know how to do that? That if the Beis Din is going to pass me that's mutter, it's mutter finished. Then there's no room to be machmir. And if a person says, no, I still think it's aser, so you have misa for that. That's rebelling against the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol. Then the Ram continues, a few who I omer mi pi Kabbalah, vi yom kachi balti mi rabosai, vehein omer mi kachi mi rabin enush, I didn't know saying. What if he claims that he has a Masorah? He says, I'm not making up a sock, this is what my Rabbeim taught me. And they say, we don't really have a Masorah about this din, but it appears to us, we're figuring it out on our own, and we came to an opposite conclusion. So hold the nasa v'nasa d'aleim b'davar v'asa. So since he's arguing with them, and he actually paskins based on what he said, or even if he himself doesn't do it, but he tells somebody else to do something, so even though, if you think about it, he has in a certain sense the upper hand in the argument. He's claiming that I have a misora, that I'm correct. So says around the Ein Tzarich Lomar, and how much more so if they claim that they have the Masorah and he claims he doesn't have the Masorah. So the bottom line is, man, how you slice it, whether he's the Mach, he's the Meikyo, they claim the stronger tradition, he claims the stronger tradition. The bottom line is, once Beis Din HaGadol comes to a conclusion, a person under no circumstances is permitted to disagree with them, and if he does so, he's called as up in Mamre. But the Rambam had given the prerequisite to this entire discussion is only if we're in the area of halacha, which is the chi of karis. If it's not a chi of karis, let's say they're arguing about some shah nuchas chazir. So is this also is a mutter, ramifications have nothing to do with karis. So only in the realm of nuchas Shabbos, and nuchas chaylev, and nuchas chametz pesach, things of that nature, then and only then do the dinim of zakin mamre apply. But now the rabbi adds on. The chay.
You have to listen to them
and not him. He himself is a chaylev, it's chayev misa for disagreeing with the Beis Din.
No, it's not karis.
If it's not karis, then he's wrong, but he's not as up
as
other. Yeah. So the Ram continues. The Chayim Cholak Aleihem B'Gezeira Mina Gezeiros Shegozu B'Dova Sheyesh B'Shegozu Chatas Uzdono Karis. Now the Ram is a tremendous Chiddush. The Ram says, what if the area of Halacha that they're arguing about itself doesn't carry with it a punishment of Karis, for a very simple reason, because the question at hand is only a question in the Rabbanon. They're not even arguing about a Din D'Oraisa, they're arguing about a Din D'Rabbanon. Nobody would ever be chayav Karis for violating a Din D'Rabbanon. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it's only a Din D'Rabbanon. That's a joke. What kind of Zakat Mamre is that? The Kavachar, Madach Chazir, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, since it doesn't carry with it Karis, there's no Zakim Amre, so Kavachomer, Din the Rabbanon, it's not even a Deraisa. How can we possibly discuss Zakim Amre? The Rambam says, no, it's not true. The Rambam says that if the Din the Rabbanon is in the area of Halacha, that basically is called Nisakaris, means it's rooted in Nisakaris, even though the violation of this Issa per se would only be Din Rabbanon, that also was qualified as Zakim Amre. What's the example? The Rambam continues, what would the din be on the 6th hour of Erev Pesach? We know that Minat Torah, Chametz doesn't become Moshe until Chatzos, until 12 o'clock. It's a perfect day on 12 o'clock on Erev Pesach. Now, when I was a kid, it used to always be 12 o'clock. Now it's already 1 o'clock because they changed the clock later in the season. But early in the season. So comes the Rambam and says, what would the din be if the Beis Din HaGadol issues of Tzach, you're not allowed to use Chametz, you're not allowed to eat Chametz an hour before Chatzos. And this guy says, you know, I disagree with that Din D'Rabbanan. I don't think we should make this Din D'Rabbanan. And the Beis Din HaGadol publicizes the psak that's also Din D'Rabbanan. And this guy walks around telling everybody, nah, don't listen to Beis Din HaGadol, listen to me. I'm smarter than them. There's no Din of Chametz in the Shashishas. So if he would have asked me, I would have said, okay, the guy's not exactly doing the right thing. It's not a Zakhim Hamre. The bottom line is, if you eat Chametz on Erev Pesach at 11 o'clock, you're not Chayav Karis. So how would the work of that be Zakhim Hamre? So comes the Rambam and says, no, that is called a Zakhim Hamre. You know why? Because it's a Chametz B'Kishayla. Chametz is an Isser Karis. The nature of the Isser Chametz is an Isser Karis. And since the Beis Din HaGadol and the Zakhim Hamre are fighting it out in Hilchos Chametz, that's considered to be qualified as a Zakhim Hamre. Even though the particulars of this particular Shayla do not carry with them an ownership of Karis. And then the Rambam continues, And the same would be true, as we said before, that it doesn't make any difference whether the Zochin Mamre is the Mekel or the Machmir. The Ram continues, also Banor B'Shah Chamishas. Let's say the Zochin Mamre says, I want to be frugal than the Beis Din. The Beis Din said that you're allowed to use Chametz at 10:30 in the morning. I think you can't. I think you're ready. You can't use it an hour before. So comes the Ram and says, Arei Zechayev Misa Mechein Kokoyotzibusa. Says the Ram, a person has Chayev Misa for disagreeing with the Pesach of the Beis Magadol, even though the area in the Shaila is only a Shaila de Rabbanon, it doesn't matter. So the Ramban disagrees with this Rambam. I didn't put it on the Mamre Kamos because it's a long, long Ramban of Tetra Mitzvah, but the Ramban disagrees with this Rambam. The Ramban says he never heard of such a thing. You can become Chayav a Mises Beis Din, you're a Zochin Mamre on a level of the Araitza because you're arguing about Chometz to Rabban, and the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So what's going on? What's the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they arguing about? And the Rambam assumes it's such a Dava Pasha that you can become a Zochin Mamre for the Rabbanon, and the Ramban says it's absurd. It can't be. It's impossible. So Rabbi Chaim Basserman quotes the name of his Rebbe, the name of Rabbi Chaim Brisker. The Rabbi Chaim understood that the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, although it seems to be a very, very technical question tucked away in the very end of his Mamrim about whether Yechayim Nisa Vezochin Mamre, really gets to the root of everything we've been talking about. In a certain sense, it's the introduction to everything we're talking about now, about the relationship between the Rabbanon and their Isis. Says Rabbi Chaim, one could raise a fundamental question: what's the nature of Isurim the Rabbanon? When you have something which is awesome in the Rabbanon, and so the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to eat Chametz now before the Zman Deraisa. So it's Minatari Sakamotri, the Chametz, but the Rabbanon you're not allowed to. So how do you understand the nature of that din? Do we say that the Chachamim have the ability to create an Isser Chametz? It means it's basically called Chametz. We know it's only the Rabbanon. Under our breath we say it's only the Rabbanon. But the person who's eating Chametz, even though it's the Shashishis, it's before Chametz becomes awesome in a Torah, but it's called an Issa Chametz. It's labeled as an Issa Chametz. It's what we would call, in Brisket terminology, we call an Issa Chetza. It means it's called the essence of Chametz. There's nothing fundamentally different between the Issa Chametz with the Rabbanon at 11 o'clock in the morning and the Issa Deraisa of Kores on the third day of Cholamot Pesach. They're both called Issurei Chametz. It happens to be there are degrees of Issa Chametz. There's an Issa Chametz that carries with it a Chi of Einish of Kores, and there's an Issa Chametz that's only also with the Rabbanon. It carries with it maybe Machas Margus. But the Ikaron, it's the same Issa. It's called the violation of the Issa Chametz. So that's what the Rambam holds. The Rambam's understanding is that in order to be a Zochin Mamre, you have to be involved, you have to be arguing with the Beis Din in an area of Halacha that's labeled as an Issa Chametz. Chametz is called an Issa Chametz. The fact that this particular Shaila of Chametz happens not to carry Chametz with it, that's a technicality. But the name of the game, the name of the Issa is an Issa Chametz. Mashenkin, that Rav Chaim, Ramban holds an entirely different picture. Ramban holds that when the Chachamim say, don't eat Chametz an hour before Chatzos, they're not telling you not to eat Chametz. The Chachamim can't make up an Issa Chametz. The Torah's definition of Chametz means something that's also five grains mixed with water on Pesach. That's called Chametz. An hour before Erev Pesach, it's a garnish. It's nothing. It's not a shame Chametz. It's not an Issa Chametz. What is it? Is it Isser on the Gavra? You as a person are not supposed to violate the Din Derabbanan. The Chacham don't want you to be eating this food. We call it Chametz, because what else are we going to call it? So we call it Chametz. So we say, don't eat this food on Erev Pesach, because as a Gezeri, you may come to eat the food a little bit later on the Pesach itself. So the Chacham made a Gezeri, but it can't be called an Issur Chametz. The Chacham don't have the ability, they don't have the authority to institute an Issur Chametz. Only the Torah Kadesh can declare an Issur Chametz. Only the Torah can declare Issur Chetza. The Chacham can tell you not to do something, but they don't have the ability to declare an Issur Chetza. It's Mashal about David, the Mishnah Chochma, his parish of Parashat Shoftim, gives a mashal to this idea that when you listen to the Chacham or you don't listen to the Chachamim, it's not that the Chacham are changing the Teva, it's not that they're changing the spiritual nature of the world. Only the Rabban Shalom can instill in something spiritual kochos. This is called Chometz, this is called Chaz, this is called Chelev. Only the Torah can do that. What the Chacham can do is they can tell you not to do X, Y, and Z, but they can change the Teva. It says Mashal about David, there's a parasha in the Torah, a parasha Samelach. There's a din that you have to listen to the king. The king tells you to do something, so you're mechuyim in the Torah to listen to him. And the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that if a person violates the Dvar HaMelech, he's like a Chayav Nisa. He's a Merib B'malchus, Koshi Yamers Pichayumas, he's Chayav Nisa. So comes the Meshach Hochman says, what if the king makes the following decree? He sends out a proclamation that no one's allowed to eat potatoes today. So a person goes out and eats potatoes. So did he violate the Nisr of Burn B'malchus? Absolutely. Is he Chayav Nisa? Yes, he's Chayav Nisa. But between you and me, is there anything trace about potatoes? Does the king have the ability to create spiritual poison in potatoes? There's nothing wrong with the potatoes. Potatoes are just as good as they were yesterday. And well, what? Because the king said not to do it, the male of the person who's morid against the Dvar HaMelech is in violation of an Isra. But the name of the Isra is not the eating of potatoes. The name of the Isra is morid v'melech. So that's what the Meshech Chachma says. One can understand that's what Losasar is also. At least according to the Ramban, that's what Reb Chaim says, that's what Losasar is. Losasar means you're not allowed to be married against the Chachamim. The Chachamim said the Torah wants us to uphold the authority of the Chachmei Torah. So the Torah says don't violate what the Beis HaGadol says. Does it mean that the Beis HaGadol changed the reality? Does it mean that they created a spiritual change in Teva that now this is called Chometz? Not to tell them. It's not Chometz. It's a regular piece of food. It's not Chometz. Some is a chomet, and therefore you can't become a zoch in mamre for it because it's not an isakaris. Well, what? There's a din. You have to listen to the chachamim. You're not allowed to violate what the chachamim say. Moshe the mother of the Tumah to not violating what the melech says. So I'll call part of according to this view of Reb Chaim, it comes out that the Rambam and the Ramban are not just arguing about a technicality in terms of zoch in mamre, but they're really getting to the very root, a really fundamental question: how to understand the relationship between the rabbanim and their haises. Do we say the Chum have the ability to create this rechefza, that they mamash changed the teva, and now it's called Chumet with the Rabbanon? Or do you say, no, there's no such thing, the Chum can't change anything. They can merely tell you to listen to us, we have to uphold their authority, but they don't have the ability to actually change anything. Only the Torah itself can create Yisurim. So one looks carefully at the Lashon Rambam, when the Rambam gave as an example, for the Issa par excellence, that's an Issa de Rabbanon, and it's an Isser in the sense of Chetz, that it becomes labeled as an Isser Chometz. So the Rambam gave a somewhat of a strange example. The Rambam gave the example of Chometz b'shar shishis, Chometz in the hour before Chetzos. But the truth is that the example that the Rambam gave is not meduyak for the following reason. We know that the Mishnah tells us in the first paragraph of Masechet Tzachim that the Isser against eating Chometz on Erev Pesach actually begins 2 hours before Chetzos. There are a whole different stages of the prohibition of Chometz to take place in Erev Pesach. In the morning of Erev Pesach, it's mutlach hatchila, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you can eat chametz, no problem. Once at the end of 4 hours in the morning, then there's an issur in the rabbanan to eat chametz, but it's not also b'hanra, it's not prohibited to derive benefit from it. Yet, you have that whole 5th hour, from let's say on a perfect day, sunrise at 6, sunset is at 6, so from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning, you can eat the chametz. From 10 to 11, you're not allowed to eat the chametz, but you're still allowed to use the chametz. That's why our practice is, that's when we do the mechiras chametz. We actually sell the chametz within that hour. That's when the rabbi usually sells the chametz to the guy, within that hour. Since the chametz is still mutter b'hana, so you could still sell it, because once it becomes asr b'hana, you can't sell it anymore. So it's still mutter b'hana during that hour. On the other hand, it's already asr b'chilas, so nobody's eating it. So we don't want to sell the chametz too early in the morning, because if you sell the chametz at 8 o'clock in the morning, the guy's still eating breakfast, so the guy's a gadav. I just sold all my chametz to the guy, and then I go ahead and eat breakfast. So that doesn't make any sense. So we try to push you off the selling of the chametz as late as possible, but not too late. So most rabbis try to aim for that, give you an hour window of opportunity to do the actual mechiras chametz. So let's say from 6 in the morning till 10, it's mutter to eat chametz. From 10 to 11, it's also to eat, but mutter to derive benefit. From 11 to 12, then it becomes also b'ano. So if the Rambam wanted to highlight a time on the clock where chametz is also the derabbanan, now the Zohar Mamre and the Beis Gadol are going at it in fighting about a certain issur of chametz the derabbanan, why did the Rambam wait till 11 o'clock in the morning? Why didn't the Rambam say that it comes 10 o'clock in the morning, the Zohar Mamre says you can eat the chametz, and the Rabbanim say you can't eat the chametz? How about the Rambam pick the later time, 11 o'clock, when the fight becomes an issue of an issur hanoah not? It's strange, if the Rambam really felt, really held, that he assumed the Rabbanim qualified, effective geraisis, they qualified to make the person into a Zohar Mamre, why did the Rambam wait for the extra hour? The Rambam should have described the first shayla, the shayla namely at 10 o'clock in the morning. So the Chora, what the Rambam is driving at, is that not all Yisurim Drabbanim are created equal. Even though the Rambam has this Yisod, as Reb Chaim said, that Yisurim Drabbanim become an effect their Isis, and they become Yisurim Chefza, and it's called Chometz with the Drabbanim, and somehow Chazal instilled the spiritual status of Chometz even on level of the Drabbanim, it is not always true. And here the Rambam Menuchas Chometz Umat, the Pekalaf Lachates, shed some light on the Rambam Menuchas Mamrim. So the Rambam Menuchas Chometz Umat, on the second Rambam Bekamos, the Rambam writes, V'asu Chachamim Lechol Chometz, Tchilu Shah Shishis, Kadei Shal Yiga B'Yisa Torah. The Chachamim said, you're not supposed to eat this food ready of Chometz, beginning from the
until the beginning of the sixth hour, so you shouldn't violate a nisa diraisa. Umitchilas shashishes yiachamet also beachilav hana kol shashishes midirisofim. That this issa midirabanan kicks in at the beginning of the sixth hour, then at 11 o'clock, it's also beachil and also bano midirabanan. Ushahayom mishvias al malmetar. The issa diraisa of chametz only starts after chatzos. And then the Ram says shachadishes. What about in the fifth hour? Ain ochlim b'chametz kizayir b'shem yom ha'meunan. That they added on an additional issa d'rabbanan, not the chametz even an hour before the beginning of the sixth hour, because we're afraid of a cloudy day. Shemayita ben chamishas l'shishas, because we're afraid that a person may make a mistake and may not be able to tell the time properly. So the Rambam basically is just paraphrasing the issur, the two issurim d'rabbanan, that if you're in the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, that the issur of hanah begins at the sixth hour and the issur achila begins already at the fifth hour. So the Brisker Rav, Chaim's son, comments that if you look really, really carefully at the Lashon Rambam, you see the Rambam is not just talking about hours on the clock. The Rambam is saying something very profound within his Lashon. If you go back again to the Rambam said, starting on the second line, the Rambam begins to discuss the chametz, and the sentence structure revolves around chametz. Chametz is the subject of the sentence, and chametz is also beginning of the shashishes. But if you go down to the third line, shachamishes ein ochlin b'chametz, all of a sudden chametz is no longer the subject, chametz is the object. Who's the subject? The person. A person is now allowed to eat chametz in the shachamishes. So most people would have read this Rambam would have gone right by them. But the Brisker Rav read every Rambam, every word, every nuance in the Rambam. The Brisker Rav said the Rambam was mamish b'dayik l'shen hazov. The Rambam is comparing and contrasting the nature of the Issa d'Rabbanan in the sixth hour in contrast to the nature of the Issa d'Rabbanan in the fifth hour. In the sixth hour, that's called chametz b'd'Rabbanan. Proof positive. It's also b'ano. Chametz by definition is also b'achilu b'ano. So in the sixth hour, when the Chachamim created an Issa chametz b'd'Rabbanan, so then I understand it's called chametz b'd'Rabbanan, and it's also b'achilu b'ano b'd'Rabbanan. The hour before, it's only also b'achila. How can you call it an Issa chametz? How you talking? The model of chametz in the Torah has to be something that's also b'achila uvahana. So how can the Chachamim make up this new category called chametz b'd'Rabbanan and say it's mutta b'hana? It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, says the Brisker Rav, Taka didn't. It's Taka not called chametz. It's an Issa gavra. Ein eichlin bo. You personally are not allowed to eat chametz at that time. It's a gazer. You may come to goof and make a mistake on the clock. But in terms of the chametz b'atzmuso, the chametz is not called chametz yet. So it comes out, according to this diuk in Lashon Rambam, there's a halachic difference, a fundamental conceptual difference between what's taking place in Erev Pesach. Most people are so busy Erev Pesach, they don't even realize what's flying. But as the clock is turning, so there are halachas that are changing. That when 10 o'clock comes, there's an Isra HaGavra, not to eat the following. When 11 o'clock comes, then and only then is there Isra Chepza, that the chametz is chal on the same Chepza of Isra. So this Brisker Rav, B'Yabadas HaRambam, becomes important for us, not just in terms of the technicality of chametz. We're holding in the middle of October right now, so most people aren't thinking Pesach-wise. But this is highlighting, really, our fundamental question, what do the Chachamim do? So we said, according to the Ramban, the Chachamim never change the reality on the ground. The Chachamim merely create, they superimpose, there's an obligation to listen to their authority. That's all there is, nothing more, nothing less. And according to the Rambam, no, the Chum changed the reality. The Chum created Surim, the Chum created Surim Chavtza. So comes the Brisker Rav and says, yes and no. According to the Rambam, it's theoretically true, but not necessarily always the case. You have to look case by case and see. Did the Chachamim create an Issa Chavtza, or did they not create an Issa Chavtza? Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. In the Shashishas, the answer is yes, because it has the pattern, has all the trappings of Chavetz. In the Shachamishas, the answer is no, because it's so radically different from the Issa Chavtza. So up until now, we've been talking very, very theoretically about the nature of Yisurim Jabbanon, or the Yisurim Gav, Yisurim Chavtza. I mean, we chapped the Nafkamin Ladina in terms of Azach and Mamre, but you know, that's not going to be the number one Nafkamin in Toshinai Gimel. So is there anything more? Is there any more down-to-earth Shaila that relates to this discussion? Do we view Yisurim Jabbanon as fundamentally the same as Yisurim Deraisa? Or do we say, no, Yisurim Deraisa, basically the Isser of Yatsimuso, or is Yisurim Jabbanon more of a question just of maintaining the authority of the Chachamim? So, comes the third in the Mamakamos, the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shechita. It's a Mebeisif, hey? Shulchan Aruch is quoting a whole series of dinim that appear in the first Berakha Maseches Chulin. Shulchan Aruch put them all together into one. So the halacha is as follows. Basically, only a Jew is kosher to be a Shaykhet. The Goy is possible in a Torah to be a Shaykhet. Why is that? Like said, we showed them what exactly the problem is. But the Maisa, the bottom line is, if a Goy shechts an animal, it's also eat an animal in a Torah. So the Gemara Maseches Chulin tells us that there are certain individuals who, although they're technically Jewish, Alpi Halacha, we treat them as being Goyim. They have the halachic status of Goyim vis-a-vis certain halachos. And if a person qualifies to fall into one of those categories, then his shechita will not be acceptable. So who are some of those people? So the Shulchan Aruch begins by Mumu L'Haches Afilu Davarecha. But then you have a person who's a Mumu L'Haches. A Mumu means someone who does Averas all the time. But he doesn't just do Averas because he can't control himself. He does Averas because he wants to really get it. Really show Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the boss. So a person who's a Mumu L'Haches, even if it's only one type of an Avera, the guy's a Mumu, he wears Shadness, not because he has a tremendous type to wear Shadness, because he doesn't believe in Shadness. He's going to show that this is meaningless. So that's called the Mumu L'Dabar Echad, but it's a Mumu L'Haches. So such a person, for the purposes of a Rashchit, is Dino Fa'achim. Oshu Mumu L'Avaris Kichad. What if a person is an Ovid of Arizara? Means other areas of Allah, he keeps kosher, he keeps everything else, but he has a side thing, he worships idols. So that's ridiculous, the Gemara says. Guy's an Ovid of Arizara, so he's a Mumu L'Chal Tarakula. Oh, the Chal Shabbos of Rehesia. Or if a person is a Mechal Shabbos of Rehesia, publicly desecrates Shabbos, which is a question in of itself, what exactly that means, one of the parameters of that statement, how that plays out today, that's a different shiur, not for now. If a person meets any of these categories, Oshu Mumu L'Chal Torah, V'L'Chutz Mishtayim Elu. What if you have a person who he doesn't worship idols, and he keeps Shabbos, but he does all the other Averis in the Torah, 611 mitzvahs he doesn't keep, so Dina Kavikichad, so such a person is labeled as a Mumu L'Chal Torah Kula, and for these purposes he's a Goy. It doesn't mean he's literally a Goy. If he wants to be Chos B'Tshuva, he doesn't have to convert again, he's still Jewish, quote unquote. If he's Mekadesh Anisha, the condition is still valid, but the bottom line is for Shechit and other areas of Halacha, he's treated like a Goy. So the Acharonim raised the following Shaila within this category of Mechal Shabbos and Fahesia. You have a person who publicly desecrates Shabbos. What if you have a guy who's a Lamdan in his desecration of Shabbos? Namely, he doesn't desecrate Shabbos. He doesn't Mechal Shabbos D'Oraisa. He won't drive a car in Shabbos, but he does other acts of Chil Shabbos, which are Chil Shabbos Midirabbanan, and he does it publicly. He doesn't care. He moves Muktzah L'Sneam Va'idah all the time. He does other Yisurim D'Rabbanan without any hesitation whatsoever. But he would never think of writing, he would never think of cooking, never think of setting up a loom, I don't know, test love it. Everything he does is only Midirabbanan. So what's the din? Is such a person considered to be Mechal Shabbos for the purposes of Chashchit or for other areas of Halacha? Now, what's the din? So Rabbi Kiveger in Simon Beis and Chashchit, I didn't put it in the Mamakam, it's a long Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger on that Simon and that this din Shulchan Aruch quotes a big Machlokes Rishonim. He claims it's a major Machlokes Rishonim about this very point. What exactly is the point? Conceptually, what's the question that they're arguing about? So the Chorah, the question is as follows. When a person violates Shabbos midrabban, a person moves Muktzah, a person puts food back on a block, whatever, he assumes Rabban that he does. So do we say that's tantamount to an act of Chil Shabbos? That's called being a Mechal Shabbos. The rule is a Mechal Shabbos is Dino Ka'af. Rashi writes in Maseches Chulin that if a person is Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, that shows that he's a Kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as a person worships of an Azari, he's a Kofer of Hashem, he's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the only one Hashem. So if a person is Mechal Shabbos, he's Kofer in the burial, he's Kofer in Maisa Bereishis. So if a person does an act of Chil Shabbos with the Rabbanon, do we say that's called Chil Shabbos? Or do we say, no, it's not called Chol Shabbos, Chol Shabbos is only Lama Tes Melachos. A person moves Muktzah, he's in violation of not listening to the authority of the Chachmei HaTorah. He's not a good guy, he's violating the Sofer, that's all true. But you can't call him a Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger brings right, it's back and forth and back and forth. But conceptually, the question is really our question. What's the relationship between the Araisas and the Rabbanon? Do we say that Isurim the Rabbanon are the Ikaron called in Issa the Araisa in the sense of it's like a quote unquote Issa Chetza? It's called in Issa Chometz, and it's called in Issa Chelev, and in Issa Chaz, it's called in Issa Chul Shabbos. Or do we say no, it's not called in Issa Chul Shabbos, it's a fundamentally different type of an Issa. If it's an Issa of rebellion against the Chachamim, but it's not an Issa Chetza, it's not an Issa Chul Shabbos per se. So this question that we're talking about now, this may spill over to other nafkaminas as well. There is a Rambam in the fourth in the Rambamakamos. The Rambam Yochus Mechira Pekta Zayin Loch Yedalit. So the Rambam writes, Hamocher Basel Chaveiro, Benimtza Besar Bechor. What if I sell you meat And it turns out that I sold you something that you weren't really allowed to eat. It turns out it was meat from a firstborn animal that was a bechor, that was kedusha to it, that is also be'achilos, but no, you weren't allowed to eat it, you weren't permitted to use it. Well, let's say, pay resident to tevalim. What if I sell you fruit, and you think you're buying kosher fruit, it turns out that it's tevel? Or yayivinim to yayinesech. I sold you wine, you thought you were buying kosher wine, and it ends up to be trefa wine. So in each one of these cases, there's some kind of a mekechtos, there's a mistake in sale that took place. So what's the din? So masha ochel ochel fiach los adamim. So the mocher who sold all of these things has to return the money because it was a mekachtos. But the problem is usually when you have a mekachtos, so let's say if I sell you a car and I forgot to tell you there's no engine in the car. So then normally what happens is that the sale is bottle. So you give me back the car, you give me back the scrap metal, and I give you back your money. Over here the food is already eaten. So what are you going to give back? So the din is nafal bichein. You have to give that to the government. So the person got a free meal basically, a good meal of chazer or yahnes, whatever it was, and then he gets his money back as well. V'chein kol amoicha davar she'asal ochlo min haTorah kachu dino. And this is the halacha says the Rambam. Any case that's a nisa diraisa, bein shoy yisur bekaris, bein shoy yisur belav belav. Abal says the Rambam. In contrast, hamoicha davar lechaveru she isra achilasa midibrei sofer. What would the din be if I sell you something also by mistake to make mekhtos, but the extent of the mekhtos was only on the level of the rabbanon? What would the din be? I sold you food. It turns out it was bishalachim, so you weren't allowed to eat it either. So imayu aperes kayomin machzis aperes v'not lasdolov. If the food is still around, I sold you this tray for food with the rabbanon. It's still there. You haven't partaken of it yet. So then it's a classic mekhtos. You give me back the food. I give you back your money. Vim achlan. But what if you went ahead and ate it already? Achol. So you ate it. And then the moichah doesn't have to give back the money. So the question is, why not? The chorus of mekhtos. Just as by the araisas, if you ate the chazir, so it turns out that you're going to get your money back because you lost what you gained. I gave you chazir, you ate the chazir, it's a terrible thing. So you're entitled to your money back. Whereas when it comes to the rabbanans, what's the big deal? By the rabbanans, you ate it, you enjoyed supper, that's it, you're not going to get your money back. What's the difference? So the Nesivos suggests that the difference, according to the Rambam, between the two cases, is based on the following yisoy. The Nesivos says, if a person eats chazir, the shogeg, he did something wrong. He did an aveira. True, it wasn't his fault, but he had lemaisa, he ended up eating something which was treif, and the person has to do tshuva for it. The Rambam's opening line, Michal Shuva, is that if a person does an aveira, even the shogeg, you have to do tshuva. So here, the person who ate the chazir could say, you're not going to give me my money back, because I ate the chazir already, you're costing me more. So now I got to clap more achais on Yom Kippur. I'm entitled to my money back. I lost more than I gained. What did I get? I got supper, but I got, I'm sick to my stomach. I got to deal with this aveira of chazir on my head. So I am entitled to get my money back, but I didn't really gain anything. Moshe Enkin says in his Sivis, if the question in hand is only a derabonim, if a person ate bishalakom by mistake, forget about it, says the Nesivos. There's no chiyuv to be chayz b'tshuva. What do you have to be chayz b'tshuva for? It's not a derabanan anyway. If you do it for mezid, you have to be chayz b'tshuva. You do it for shagig, you don't have to be chayz b'tshuva. So therefore the mice, I got a good meal. So what are you questioning about? You got a free dinner. So you got to pay for it. You're not going to get your money back. Because in the end of the day, you benefited. Aye, the guy's claiming, what do you mean I benefited? I lost because I got to be chayz b'tshuva. No, it says the Nesivos, you don't have to be chayz b'tshuva. What is that based on conceptually? Why should it be such a chivuch if the Nesivos says beer is correct? Why should it be so that for Derai says you have to be chayz b'tshuva even b'shegeg, and for Derabanan you don't? So the Meshech Chochma thinks that it's based on going back to what we spoke about before. What is the nature of Yisurim Derabanan in the first place? If Yisurim Derabanan are Yisurim Cheftza, that it's called Chazim, it's called Chomet, it's called Chol Shabbos, so that maybe Shayyim Ben Mezid means if I eat poison, bottom line is if I eat poison, a guy swallows poison by mistake. So they come to pump his stomach. He says, what are you pumping my stomach for? For a shagay. I didn't mean to. So what are the doctors going to tell me? Shagay from day tomorrow. We still got to get the poison out of you. So if a guy violated in Issa Chomet, in Issa Chaz, in Issa Chaylev, whether it's bemezid or b'shagay, you have to get it out of you. So the only way to get it out of you is to be chayzid b'tshuva. So that's true whether the Issa was an Issa Derais or an Issa Derabonim. Masha'ein came. If the nature of Yisurim Drabon is the Teres Mered, you're not allowed to be married, you're not allowed to rebel against the king, you're not allowed to rebel against the Chachabim, So it only makes sense to call the guy a Meir B'Divrei Chachamim if you meant to be Meir. If I didn't mean to be Meir, what do you mean? You can hold me responsible? You can't have a revolution without knowing what you're revolting against. So if the person didn't even know he's eating Bishal Chachamim, so it was not a Maisa Ve'er B'chlal, it's not Mishdvar B'tel, it's nothing. So that's not what the Rambam says. So the Mishnah Chochma says, you see from this Rambam, from this Nesivis, that the nature of Yisurim D'Rabbanan is only B'teres Gavra, not B'teres Chassa. The only problem is that Reb Chaim wouldn't say this trap with Dasa Rambam, because Reb Chaim was the big believer that the Rambam disagreed. Reb Chaim was the one who said the Rambam sheet the back by Zechem Mamre, the Rambam holds that Yisurim D'Rabbanan are Yisurim Chesed, Yisurim D'Rabbanan are spiritually poisoned. So you have now a major machlokes, the Gedel Yecharenim of the last century, as to what is the sheet of the Rambam and the Shaila. There's definitely the Shaila floating all over the place. What are Yisurim D'Rabbanan? Are Yisurim D'Rabbanan fundamentally the same as the Araisas? Or do we say Yisurim D'Rabbanan are fundamentally different? They're Yisurim Gavra, Yisurim Merit, etc. So whereas Reb Chaim claimed that the Rambam Shita was that they're really Yisurim Chavtza, that's the Lashon Rambam Mechuzok and Mamre, that's the Lashon Rambam Mechuzkomet, that they're Mamash Yisurim Chavtza, you have the Or Sameach, Baal HaMeshech Chochma, was the contemporary of Reb Chaim, who say no, the exact opposite of the Dasa Rambam. So you have the Gedolei Acharonim of 100 years ago fighting it out, what is the Shita Rambam on this particular topic? Do Yisurim D'Rabbanan considered like basically Yisurim Chavtza, like Yisurim D'Raisa, or do you say the whole nature of Yisurim D'Rabbanan is only B'teres Mered? Is there any raya, any gemara about this topic? So there is a gemara, the fifth of the gemara. It's almost a may shed some light on this. The gemara chun above him in Aleph. Rabbi Zeir Rav Asi iklu lepundika diyoi. Rabbi Zeir Rav Asi once arrived at a certain motel, this place. Iklu kabal beitam tzumachos biyayin. So they were served by the innkeeper some kind of a dish of eggs that were mixed together with the wine. So Rabbi Zeir lo ochel, Rav Asi ochel. So Rabbi Zeir refused to eat it, and Rav Asi ate it. So Rabbi Zeir lo Rav Asi to lo chayish malat harevis demai. So Rabbi Zeir asked him, how could you Rav Asi eat it? This balabos over here is not so from that it could be that it's demai. It could be that it's produce that one was supposed to take off to the maestros or the maestros, and they weren't taken off properly. So we're not supposed to eat it. So aren't you concerned with what's called tarovis demai? So tarovis demai means that I'm not drinking the wine itself. I'm having wine as a side, in a sense, it's mixed in into the eggs. So amalei lava datoi. So we say gevalt. I didn't realize it. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Evshen Gozmo Tarovus Bnei Mistai Milsa Rav Asi Mech Lisura. So Rabbi Zeira said it can't be that his colleague Rav Asi would have by mistaken eaten Tarovus Bnei. It must be that Tarovus Bnei was never also even Midrabban. It must be that the Isser of Bnei, the Isser being Chayshish, that maybe the Shumas and Isser weren't taken off of, was only if you eat the food itself. If you eat it mixed up with other things, maybe the Isser doesn't apply altogether. So Rabbi Zeira says that it must be that way, because we have a rule, Hash to the Hemkin, Shal Tadikin, Enek, Arash Baruch, maybe the color young, again, we have a rule that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will protect the tzaddik, at least in the realm of machos asuros. They're not going to fall in and end up eating real trefa food. If a person ended up eating trefa food even by mistake, so that's a sibir, is not such an absolute tzaddik. We won't comment on how this plays out, Lamaisa. So anyway, getting back over here. So the Gemara applies this rule of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Tekola Ayadam, to Machos Asuros, even though it's only Midrabanan. This is only Demai. Midrattari will not eat it. Midrattari probably didn't answer it. It's only Midrabanan. And still the Gemara says Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Tekola. So Rav Yosef Engel, third of the Achvar for that period of time, also contemporary of Rav Chaim's period. So Rav Yosef Engel says that how could the Gemara say that the Gabi Yisurim D'Rabbanan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the person from violating an Isser? If the guy doesn't know about it, then it's not an Isser altogether, like the Nesiva said. If it's B'Shegig, there's no Isser D'Rabbanan B'Shegig. So says Rav Yosef Engel, you see from this Gemara, it's not true. You see that Yisurim D'Rabbanan B'Shegig are considered to be Yisurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you if you're Zeichet to that, but you can't just Machav and just make believe and say, no, it's not an Isser, it's a Hetagom. It's not a Hetagom, it's an Isser D'Rabbanan B'Shegig. So how can there be an Isser D'Rabbanan B'Shegig? It's only B'Teres Mered, and there's no Mered B'Shegig. So the answer is not true. But Yisurim D'Rabbanan, not just B'Teres Mered Chachmei Torah, there's something intrinsically also about what the Chacham was saying. So basically, we got a little bit of a flavor that there are many, many different questions, both conceptually and practically, as to how to view the relationship between their Isis and their Abundance. So we view their Abundance as being basically an extension of deraisa. They also isur mechatz. They also have the shade isur on them. The chacham can change and create spiritual entities that isurim derabanan. Or do we say no? The chlal not. There's no such thing. It's just the teres moreid bechach miatora, like the moshul of the veshel chachma, like the king who gives a decree, even though he doesn't really make the potatoes also per se. So we had a few nafkaminas, issues related to zafin mamre, issues relating to whether you call the mechal shabbos, if you mechal shabbos derabanan, issues relating to the rambams, whether you sold something which is also deraisa, also derabanan, get your money back, those, etc. And that how it plays out in terms of this gemara and the second chol. So it's still somewhat of an open question as to we're not exactly sure where the koach of the chacham comes from to make his eros, and isurim dinim derabanan. We're not sure whether it's the root of los sasser or the other root of the rabban. And even assuming, even though we know the chacham do have such authority, what the very essence, what the nature of the authority is still somewhat up for grabs. So at least we're making some headway in terms of what the authority of the chacham is, even though we may not be able to put an absolute answer. There may be different versions as to what exactly the koach of the chacham is all about. Okay.
So the person to be a shaykh depends on this. And shuvah.